السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. مفتي فرحان كراني، مفتي صاحب all well on your side.
الحمد لله.
الحمد لله. The sole thing that's taken to media and globally, it's one of the gay imam in all of this year. So we've heard quite a bit of it. Maybe just a little bit from Mufti Saab's side as well.
Yeah, I think everybody's spoke about it too much. Everybody's well aware of this, all those developments. So I don't think anybody will ever try to be a gay so-called imam ever again. I think this is a severe warning to them that they will never ever try something. You are the only psycho brave person to come out openly as a gay imam, so-called imam. Yeah, instead never will anybody try it again.
And as we see in the world, they just look at one side of it, and we get these crazy comments as well. People are saying that the human life, this is so important, this is so vital. But of course,
Allah says that the law of Allah, the had of the hudud of Allah, are more greater than the life. And we saw in COVID times how they played with the ayat of the Quran, where they justified the whole vaccine thing and the whole lockdown thing against the Quran, that life is more sacred. But in the eyes of Allah Ta'ala, your life is not sacred if you break the laws of Allah Ta'ala. You commit adultery, or you fornicate, or you are homosexual, then your life is not sacred. Your life is sought after, and the laws of Sharia, the hudud, are going to apply to you, and you are going to suffer the azab in the dunya before you reach the akhirah.
It's a valid point, and that's exactly, it's probably because, not probably, it's definitely because of our attachment to this worldly life, and we have just become like living in terms of our living, in terms of our activities, in terms of our emulations. So it just has become like that. And all we have to say is we are reciters of the Kalima. But
I believe this character used to even read the Quran. And he was even married at one stage, and he had children also. Then his marriage obviously broke down because he was found to be gay, came out as gay. And so he lived a normal life before he was gay. So Allah Ta'ala gives hidayat, and Allah Ta'ala takes away hidayat also. Allah Ta'ala gives hidayat whoever he wants, and Allah Ta'ala takes away misleads whoever he wants. So all hidayat in Allah Ta'ala's hands, so you must always read the dua. Rabbana la tuzigh qulubana. Oh Allah, do not turn our hearts away. Ba'da idh hadaytana, after you have guided us. And because it is Allah Ta'ala telling us in the Quran that it is me who gives you hidayat, and it is me who leads you astray. Everything is in Allah Ta'ala's hands. And so we must never think for a moment that I got hidayat because of what I did, or because of something. No, it's because of Allah Ta'ala wants you to have hidayat. This is why you have hidayat. So this person, he used to read Quran. As he used to read Quran, okay, he used to go to the masjid. But it's clear in the Quran that only those people, ibadat, is accepted, the amal are accepted, who have iman. You can read 10 Qurans a day, but you don't have iman, none of it is accepted in eyes of Allah Ta'ala. There's no reward for you, nothing at all, zero. So the condition is to have iman. And we know that this person clearly rejected the ayat of the Quran and Kareem, that he misinterpreted, deliberately changed the meanings of the Quran. Not he misinterpreted. He deliberately changed the meaning of the Quran. Said that no, the ayat where Allah Ta'ala speaks about the punishment of Lut alayhi salam's people, you know, it was it means rape. It refers to rape. Doesn't refer to homosexuality and lesbianism. No, it refers to homosexuality. That's clear. There's no tafsir otherwise indicating to rape or anything. Like you find in the ahadith of Nabi Muhammad, where it is mentioned that Nabi Sassam got married to Aisha Anha when she was 6 years old, and when the Rukhsati was made when she was 9 years old. So now there's these modern so-called Mufassirin, they come out and they say, you know, to blend in with the law of the land and the constitution, they say, you know, they changed the whole thing. I even saw one translation of Bukhari Sharif, wherein the author even writes there that Aisha got married to Aisha when she was 18 years old. And she was 18. Totally incorrect. So we must not change what is Allah Ta'ala's ahkam, what is clear cut in the hadith and the Quran. We can't change it. We have to leave it just as it is.
Hmm. As Mufti Saab was speaking now, and we just see, just looking for this verse of the Quran Sharif, verse 179, that when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that in qisas, for example, we just speak of the laws of Allah, then walakum fil qisasi hayatun, that in qisas there is life. So these particular laws of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, where we're seeing globally, people are, they don't have confidence in it. Saudi Arabia, many years ago, I know it was when we were there, as a boy, as an 8 year old, 9 year old, while we were there, we heard of incidents. This was in 97, 98, 99, where that law was in place, that if you stole even a shoe or you stole something, we heard instances while we were there, hands were going to be cut because of this. Yeah. So what was the effect of it? The effect of it was, we saw those drivers, those taxis, those people, they could leave their car with the ignition on, go into a shop, come out, and they'll know for sure their car will be safe. So the laws of Allah, whether we understand it or not, we have to just abide by it. But questioning the law of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, undermining the law of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and this is what people are saying, human life, this is like the craze out there, human life.
So Allah Ta'ala says, وَلَكُمْ فِي الْقِصَاصِ حَيَاةٌ يَا أُولِي الْأَلْبَابِ. After this, يَا أُولِي الْأَلْبَابِ. And for you, in qisas, there is life. Oh, intelligent one. And for the intelligent one to think. So now, if you don't think like that, then you're not intelligent. فَعَلَّكُمْ تَتَّقُونَ. So that you may fear Allah Ta'ala. So why does Allah Ta'ala say, if you look at, our neighboring country, Botswana, I don't know if they were supposed to, or they done away with the death penalty. So until the death penalty was there, the crime was zero. Crime was zero because people knew if you commit murder, you're going to get killed. End of the story. Yeah, in South Africa also, the same story was that the death penalty was in place. So people were scared to murder anybody. Now they removed the death penalty, so now the murder rate is the highest in the world. So in the laws of Allah Ta'ala, there is life. And in qisas, in taking a life, there is life. But only you need understanding, you need aqal to understand that. And like we said in the beginning, that nobody will ever try this again, because now you'll be afraid that, you know, you can be next on the line there. We don't know where this gunman is going to come from. And so, and we don't know when Allah Ta'ala's lot is right. You know, like AK Sahab was saying, that 15 years ago he debated this stuff. And 15 years, he was roaming the streets and propagating his bus. Until now, Allah Ta'ala's lot is struck, and struck in a form of bullets, and he was killed there in the back. And so, when Allah Ta'ala has patience, Allah Ta'ala is Haleem, Allah Ta'ala is forbearing, Allah Ta'ala waits for the right moment, and then Allah Ta'ala, whatever, whatever Allah Ta'ala gives respect, nobody can take away that respect. And whatever Allah Ta'ala disgraces, nobody can take away that disgrace or nobody. So the only people in the world who are making a noise about this are the gay and lesbian people. And those people who think they're Muslims and they sympathizing, no, we can't be radical. And so you call Allah Ta'ala's laws radical. It's radical when you have to take a life, when somebody commits murder, a cold-blooded murder, you have to take his life, you call that radical. But to kill people just like that there, and then put them in jail, and then they must walk free after that there, that's according to your laws, but according to Allah Ta'ala's laws, and Allah Ta'ala prescribes something, then becomes radical. Because it doesn't suit our safeguards. And it's not palatable for us. because we want to run our own minds and our own whims and fancies. We want to follow our own funny dictates and epic pride. We don't want to follow the ahkam of the Sharia.
Before we carry on, I just want to clarify to the listeners as well, because sometimes you don't know who's listening and what intentions they have.
Yeah.
But the issue here is we are not saying, and I know Mufti Saab will definitely be the first to say this as well, is not we're not condoning to say every single person can go now and kill whoever. This is according to Islamic law. And as Mulana Dawood Sirat Hafidhullah also mentioned, we don't know the real intention. But if this person's intention was such, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect him, because he was looking in the interests of Islam. And I was just thinking about this yesterday, that what do angels do normally? Angels, they look in the interest, they obey Allah's commands. And if he did this really to save the ummah from all of this fitan, risking his life, then he is trying to emulate the actions of an angel, because angels do this here. They protect and they obey Allah's command. Of course, this is not a command to go kill every single person, but to protect. We find this also in Khidr alayhi salam. He did certain things. But here's the question I have. So I just wanted to clarify that. I don't know if Mufti Saab wants to say something.
Yeah. So there's not a license. You can't go kill every gay person. And you get caught in the land, and the law of the land will apply to you, and you'll be locked up and whatever consequences you have to suffer after that. In an Islamic country, where there is a proper khilafat in an Islamic country, then the laws of Allah Ta'ala will apply there, where a person who did homosexuality and lesbianism, there the hudur of Allah Ta'ala will be meted out properly and in public. But in our country where we are living in Darul Kufr, we can't go around killing people in India, because that is not an Islamic country. If there is an Islamic country, then the laws of Allah Ta'ala will be applicable. There was one story comes to mind. One person in Western India, this person, he is very infamous about of his book that he wrote, blasphemous things about Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So there was one rickshaw driver. This rickshaw driver, he picked up this book and he read this book and he was so angry. How can somebody ever speak about my Rasul like this here? So he went. So he found out the address of this person, where he lived and everything. He went to his house and he knocked on the door. He went to this book and he showed this person the book. He said, "Are you the author of this book?" It's very proudly, he said, "Yes, it's me, I'm the author of this book." He took out his knife and he stabbed this man in cold blood and he killed him there and there, made sure he was dead before he left. Then he went with that knife and he went to the police station and he handed himself over and he said, "This book, the author of this book here, that he has been killed, I killed him. Here's my knife here, here's his blood on my hand, you can do whatever test you want to do. I'm the killer, I'm admitting to this murder." Because of the love of Nabi Qasim here in Iran. Then they put him in jail. And every day, he used to see Rasulullah in a dream. Every single night, he used to see Nabi Qasim in a dream. He said, "Don't worry, you're coming to me soon. Don't worry, you're coming to me soon." And he used to be laughing and smiling. And the guards asked him, like, what's wrong with you? You're on death row. They're going to kill you. They're going to hang you. You know, I see my Rasul every night in my dream. And my Rasul told me that you are so beloved to me. Remember, like you were mentioning the other day, that people who, in a time of Islam, who were blasphemous, and they went and they killed that person, and Nabi Qasim didn't say anything about it. So Nabi Qasim came in that person's dream every night. So when you can't stop something where there is intense love in your heart for Allah Ta'ala's laws and Nabi Qasim, and nothing will stop you. Nothing will stop you. You don't bother about anything and anybody. And so that's the intense love the person has in his heart for the ahkam of Sharia. So we don't know why this person does that. Maybe it wasn't even related to this. Maybe it was some rivalry or some other. He owed somebody money and didn't pay. We don't know what the reason why he got killed. But we know what he used to do. And so the reason why he got killed and who killed him, we don't know. And so we leave that to Allah Ta'ala. And what I want to do is speak about today, like we see now, it's raining for the past 4 days, alhamdulillah, non-stop, just raining and raining. And so that's the mercy of Allah Ta'ala. So I was thinking, I read about the hadith before, that Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, he says that in Medina Munawwara, there was a drought, severe drought. So whilst Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam was giving a khutbah on the day of Jummah, one Bedouin stood up. And we know the Bedouins are very informal people. They'll tell you whatever they want to tell you without even thinking twice about it. So he stood up and he said, Ya Rasulullah, halak al-mal wa ja'al al-iyal, and fad'u Allah lana. Our wealth, our property has been destroyed. No, our animals are dying. Our crops are dying. We don't have food. We don't have water. We are perishing here. And our families are dying also. Our families are dying out of hunger, starvation. The message is very, very dire. So make dua for us. Make Allah ask Allah Ta'ala to have mercy on us. So Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam looked at his hand. And he says that, the Rawi says that, we never saw even a speck of a cloud in the sky. There was no cloud whatsoever in the sky. He says, I take a qasam in whose hands my life is, that Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam lifted his hands. As he lifted his hands, Tara Sahab Ansar al Jibal, the clouds started rushing and they gathered like huge mountains in the sky. As soon as Hassan lifted his hands to make dua, the clouds started gathering and they piled up on top of each other. Huge clouds. ثُمَّ لَمْ يَنْزِلْ عَمْ مِنْبَرِهِ, and he didn't even get off from the minbar. He didn't even step down from the minbar. حَتَّى رَأَيْتُ الْمَطَرَ, until I saw it was raining, it was pouring. اتحادروا عَلَى لِحْيَتِ, the water was dripping down from the beard, the Mubarak beard of Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. فَمُطِرْنَا يَوْمَنَا ذَلِكَ, and that day it rained the entire day. وَمِنَ الْغَدِ, and the next day, وَبَعْدَ الْغَدِ, and the following day, وَالَّذِي يَلِيهِ, and the other day, the following day after that, حَتَّى الْجُمُعَةِ الْأُخْرَ, until the next Jum'ah. For one whole week, 7 days, it was raining, it was pouring. Then, the next Jum'ah, وَقَامَ ذَلِكَ الْأَرَابِيُّ, that same Bedouin stood up, وَقَانَ غَيْرُ, or someone else stood up, and he said, Ya Rasulullah, تَعْدَبَ الْزِنَا, we ask for Allah Ta'ala's mercy. But now what's happening? Our buildings are collapsing. That double bina, our valuable mal, and our livestock, and our crops, everything is drowning. All our belongings are drowning in the rain. Fadullah lana. So ask Allah Ta'ala, please, we had enough rain now. Farasa'a yadayya. Nabi Sassam lifted his hand. Rahmatulil alameen lifted his hand. He said, Allahumma hawalayna wa la alayna. Oh Allah. And now rain in our surroundings, and not over us. And so this is a masnoon dua. Allahumma hawalayna wa la alayna, Allahumma ala al-aqami wal-ajami wal-dirabi wal-audiyati wa manabiki shadr. And we learned this in madrasa. So we must make amal on this dua also. We must read this dua. So, فَمَا يُشِيرُ بِيَدِي إِلَى نَاكَةٍ مِنَ السَّحَابِ إِلَّا الْفَجَرِ. If Nabi Qasim, with his Mubarak finger, he pointed to the clouds, and he as he pointed to the cloud just moved. It just gave way. وَصَارَتِ الْمَدِينَةُ مِثْلُ جَوْفَةِ, and Medina Munawwara was like a pearl standing out in the middle with no clouds above it, and all around it was raining and there was clouds around. Imagine how beautiful the sight must be. وَصَارَ الْوَادِ قَنَاتُ شَهْرِ شَهْرًا, and the valleys and the rivers and streams were flowing for a whole month after that. For 1 week rain, a whole month, the rivers and all the wadis and the valleys were flowing with water. وَلَمْ يَجِئْ أَحَدٌ مِّن نَاحِيَةٍ إِلَّا حَدَّثَ بِالْجَوْدِ, and anybody who came from outside, from the outskirts of Medina Munawwara, they used to speak about the good conditions of the valleys and the surrounding areas. Everything is gone lush and green, and the animals are well fed, and there's enough food for everybody, and everything is going so smoothly. So when the power of dua. This is the power of dua. Imagine being in a time of the where you can say Ya Rasulullah, and we go stand in front of the Road of Mubarak and we say Ya Rasulullah, and we make salam to Nabi Fasim. We think his grave is alive in his grave. So we make salam to Nabi Fasim, like Assalamu alayhi wa sallam. Imagine in the presence of Nabi Fasim, Ya Rasulullah. Imagine what the caliber of the Sahaba. So this, and then people, they still swear the Sahaba in a day. And the power of the dua of the Nabi. And in the hadith, it comes that the mother's dua is more accepted in the eyes of Allah Ta'ala than a Nabi's dua. So imagine this is a Nabi's dua. And when a mother lifts her hand and makes dua, then that dua is more readily accepted in the eyes of Allah Ta'ala than the dua of a Nabi. So there's one more story we just want to conclude with. Comes in a Sahih hadith that there was one woman who was incarcerated in the time of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. And she had a small little child. And this child, the child was very beloved to her. And she was a prisoner, she was a slave. So her child was lost. And she was looking helter-skelter for the child, looking for the child, here, looking there, everywhere. She can't find the child. She was in a state of panic and she couldn't get, she couldn't contain herself. So whenever she saw a child of one of the other slaves, then she used to grab the child, hold the child, kiss the child, hug the child, keep the child close to her, and until she found her own child. When she found her own child, she was so delighted, so happy that she carried the child and she hugged the child and she was feeding the child. So Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam looked at the scene and he told the Sahaba that, tell me, would anybody take their child and throw their child into a fire? Would you ever take your child and throw your child into a fire? Kill your own child. And the Prophet asked this question. Nowadays, we see people killing their own children. And they give birth to their child and they abort their child and they take their child and dump the child in the dustbin, left for dead, or they strangle the child to death, or they dump the child in the toilet or outside in the dustbin or somewhere. And what kind of not even human, this is shaitan yet. Now, so that everybody said, Ya Rasulallah, no way, nobody will ever do such a thing. Who would throw their own child into the fire? And so Nabi Sallam said, Allah's Qasam, like how you see this mother loving her child and so affectionate towards this child, and much, much more is Allah Ta'ala compassionate and merciful towards his servant. And much, much more than what this mother is showing compassion and mercy to her child, is Allah Ta'ala compassionate and merciful towards his servant. So Allah Ta'ala's laws are a compassion and a mercy unto us. It's a mercy for us. And so that everybody in the world lives harmonious and they live in harmony and they live for peace and security and tranquility and safety. But as soon as you take away the laws of Allah Ta'ala, then you have insecurity, instability and everything going wrong in the world. And that is what the kuffar want. They don't want stability in the world because they're making money out of instability. The security company is making money because of the instability. So they create all these problems. And you see, presidents and people in charge, they create the chaos. And to live under the chaos and live from the chaos. And they create a situation where everything is haywire, and then they're making money out of it. So Allah Ta'ala's law is there for safety and security, and everybody lives in harmony and peace. So the laws of Allah Ta'ala are there for our safety and our security and our peace of mind. And as soon as we break the laws of Allah Ta'ala, then we will have instability and insecurity and no safety whatsoever. Allah Ta'ala keep us safe and Allah Ta'ala keep us in God.
Ameen. Jazakumullah khairan. Mufti Saab, make dua for us. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.